Are you ready to get inspired? Because we're going to do some inspiring stories today. Personally, I always need to hear these kind of stories. And these are people that made it, quote unquote, made it or achieved their dreams or success later in life. So excited. Hello, welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. We're doing a solo episode today of Inspiring Stories because I need some inspiring stories. I always need to revisit inspiration, like big time. I mean, I'm over 50 and I'm like, you know, tell me things that happen to people later in life that, and you've seen the memes. I've shared the memes. I love the memes. And we're going to do like an audio version of those memes today. And somebody, Diane Nyad, that you probably haven't heard of. I hadn't heard of her. And I'm so excited to share her story too, because she did something at age 64. And so I'm like, hell yes. I'm so here for that. Did I have some help from ChatGPT on this? Yes, I did. Did I just upgrade to ChatGPT-4? I sure did. I have been using ChatGPT. Let's just talk about that for a second. I've been using it to kind of expand a little bit. And it's great when you're feeling lazy. So I helped Justin with some of his speaking stuff. And so I entered like his bio that I needed to send to somebody. And oh my God, it gave me all different variations. It's so cool. So anyway, I just encourage you to go play with it. I talked to a former guest, Erwin Valencia. He is the godfather of gratitude. If you haven't listened to our episode, it's great. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes. And I'm just doing an audio version today too, guys, because I haven't showered today and I wanted to get an episode out. So that's here we are. And Erwin, I saw him when he came through town not too long ago. And Erwin told me he was using ChatGPT and he would do, you can do different, you know, sections and train it in different ways to focus on something. And so he was training one to be a marketing CEO and genius and study all these different people and modeling after that, and then to give him advice on his own business. Isn't that genius? So I hadn't considered that. So you can apply for ChatGPT-4, and I think there's a little bit of a wait list, but it's super interesting because it levels up the abilities of ChatGPT. So that's what he's using. And then you can just train it to be this marketing CEO, or you can train it to be, I don't know, a parenting expert or whatever you want. And then you ask it questions and it'll give it to you. You could say in the style of Mel Robbins, in the style of Gary Vee, you know, something like that. So it's really a trip. And I've been playing with it, like in the style of the Amy Edwards Show. And so it can go to my old show notes. It can't, at least, I don't know if 4 can do this yet, but the old ones couldn't go through YouTubes. They couldn't pull full transcripts of shows. So I'm excited when it's going to be able to do that. But anyway, so why also am I audio only today? Well, I have traveled to Egypt. I've been back for a week. And I'm like releasing this in real time because I got ahead with my shows and then I got behind with my shows. It's like an ebb and flow. And so I went to Egypt. We went for like 12 days. Matt Vincent and Bonnie Schroeder, they are amazing. They're fitness influencer types, and she's a little bit of everything influencer. And she goes by Bon Schro, and he goes by Matt Vincent. Or I am Matt Vincent, I think. And they work with Trova Trip to put on these trips. They're like the influencers and Trova plans the trip. And it was so cool. Such a cool way to do. We had like a group of 15 people and everyone was so cool. And we went, I say we, me and Justin. And he was coming back from Uganda. So he met me in Egypt. So I flew to Cairo through Frankfurt. Frankfurt Airport sucks. Anyway, that's another story. Justin and I are going to talk about the trip and traveling, I think, in another episode. So I'm pretty excited about that. And Egypt was really, really cool, really interesting. I guess I was expecting Cairo to be more of like a big city, and it's a big city, but more in like a way where they don't take care of their stuff. Like the streets are decent streets, but they don't have any street signs. They don't have any lanes. They don't have any stoplights, stop signs. It is a wild ride there. The most danger I felt in Cairo, literally the most danger I felt in was when I crossed the street. So we had to cross the street one day and I was like, it was a really busy street and there was no crosswalk. Women and children are just crossing the street. It's crazy. I was very scared. I just let Justin do the blocking and I just basically like Frogger'd next to him and just like did whatever. I felt like I was on Frogger because in the game, because you just obey what you're told. I felt like the frog. So anyway, it was scary. But otherwise, seeing everything there gives you a respect for humanity and what we're capable of in a whole different way. And that we can make things that last for thousands of years that will just blow you away. The dedication and determination and follow through with so much that was created in Egypt is so inspiring. And I was left feeling like, whatever you want to do, you can do. Isn't that cool? So anyway, I'm so glad I went. It was the trip that I've been dreaming of for my whole life. I've wanted to go to the pyramids, and the pyramids themselves were not even the thing that knocked my socks off the most. I'm so happy I saw the pyramids, and I studied a lot. I listened to this Audible recording by this guy who sounds like he's from like Long Island or something, but he's a leading Egyptologist. His name is Bob, I think, Bob Beyer or something. And it's in Audible. It's the history of ancient Egypt. So if you go, you can listen to these lectures and you can kind of pick and choose, but they're all super fascinating the way he tells the stories. And we had a guide with us and our guide told us to, everything matched up. Like they know what they're talking about with all this stuff. And it is people that built this stuff. I don't think it was aliens. So not after seeing it and you're like, oh yeah, okay, they did this. And it all makes more sense when you study it. So anyway, I think that the myths around aliens and stuff, just, I don't know, they're just fun to me. So, all right. So anything else I want to cover before we dive in? No, I think that's it. I just am sometimes, I get discouraged. Yeah, I do. I get discouraged. Like, are we making it? Are we living our life purpose? And I've had a year of just learning to surrender in so many weird ways. In like May, my feet started to hurt, like painful when I walked. I don't know what it was. And they have hurt off and on for like till now. And I mean, I'm doing all sorts of things. I've been to physical therapy. Anyway, that's been such an odd thing to go through, to have to surrender to. And I feel like I've just gotten lesson after lesson this year in surrender and how much do you mean the things that you talk about? Oh my God, I loves to do that. Take a deep breath and you just go, yeah, okay, fine. So anyway, I personally am excited for 2024. I don't know about you. Right now, I'm just focused on surrender, relaxing, doing my thing that I love to do, doing my other gigs and all that. And we've moved into a new home. I've taken my trip of a lifetime. So now I'm like, now what? And Justin and I will have some news coming soon. Actually, you know what? I'll just tell you right now. We got engaged. He proposed to me under the Sphinx and it was magnificent. We haven't shared it on social media quite yet, but I think we're doing it in the next couple days just because we've been like getting our acts together since we got back. So, and we wanted to share it really nice. So anyway, why not tell you though? So, because here you are. So anyway, I'm pretty stoked about that. So we are going to plan a wedding. And we've been together 3 years in case you were wondering. All right, let's jump in and talk about some inspiring stories. Y'all, I have started using higher dose products, and I am such a fan. You know, I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all higher dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones. So you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing, and I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night, and I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum. And I'm very picky about what I put on my skin, and I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal. They have a ton of other products too, magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there, or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off. Are you ready to up-level your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure, with more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the Cervix Wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage, and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus Wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S.com, and use my link in the show notes to get 10% off, or simply enter my code, Amy Edwards, at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, wands.com. Inspiring stories. You like that? I just made up a jingle for us. Okay, so we're going to do five men and six women, I do believe. And I'm just going to touch on the men and women and then give you a longer story here at the end about Diana. Diana, I think I said Diane earlier. Diana Nyad. So she was a swimmer. Okay, so let's talk quickly about five men. We're going to talk about Colonel Sanders, Ray Kroc, Samuel L. Jackson, Alan Rickman, and Morgan Freeman. So you've probably heard some of those too. I feel like I always see the Ray Kroc and Samuel L. Jackson. So Colonel Sanders was the founder of KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. So he had numerous failures and setbacks and started his career pretty young. He was working all different jobs and small businesses, but he made all different ventures. They often failed, and he became bankrupt, zero money, penniless several times in his life, right? Isn't that wild? I mean, I've known entrepreneurs too who have been like, I can make money again. I don't care about ending up with no money. I find that very inspiring because I know me personally, I have had ups and downs financially, and I've had times with like millions in the bank and then times where I'm like, can I pay this bill that is $20? So that for me is very inspiring to read. So when he reached the age 65, he founded Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is now KFC. He had developed a secret recipe. Personally, the secret recipe is delicious. He began selling it at a service station in Kentucky. It was a unique blend of herbs and spices. It became a hit and led him to expand and franchise the restaurants. 65. Isn't that wild? And he became an icon of fast food success. It became a global brand. I know, we used to go there after church every Sunday in Colleen, Texas. My mom would go pick up the bucket. She never got the secret recipe though. She got the regular like fried. That's not even relevant, but I felt like saying it anyway. Okay, second, we're going to do Ray Kroc. Oh, and by the way, Colonel Sanders lived for 90 years. He was born in 1890 and he died in 1980. I remember him on commercials too. At least I think it was him. Okay, next is Ray Kroc. Ray Kroc, of course, is McDonald's. If you've seen The Founder, he's played by Michael Keaton, and I love that movie for some reason. Now, I know that there's some controversy around Ray Kroc, but anyway, overall, he was in his 50s, and he stumbled upon the McDonald's restaurant owned by the McDonald brothers in San Bernardino, California. He saw the potential for expansion and he convinced them to let him franchise their concept. He faced a lot of challenges and rejections, of course. I believe his wife left him too, before finally opening the first official McDonald's franchise in Illinois, Illinois in 1955. And he had a lot of different strategies. Of course, he owned the real estate underneath, which was brilliant. He turned McDonald's into the global giant that it became. And his story, it's funny, this 1955. I didn't realize it was that recent because I remember having a birthday party. Apparently, this is going to be peppered with my own personal stories. I remember having a birthday party at McDonald's in the 70s. I think I was 6, maybe 7, we wore these little paper hats. It's funny to think that that would have been, if I was 7, that would have been 1979, 78. And that's funny to think that McDonald's was only like 20 years old then. I felt like it had been around forever, like McDonald's. There was only one in Colleen at the time. Okay, so anyway, he turned McDonald's into a global giant. So if you haven't watched The Founder, I love that movie. Okay. Next. And Ray Kroc again died in 1984. He was, I believe, 82 years old. So that's saying something. That's late in life. Samuel L. Jackson. He just kept at it. He's one of these actors that just kept at it. He also was a drug addict. Did you know that in his early years? He didn't have any recognition as an actor until his 40s when he was in, of course, Pulp Fiction. That was when he finally made it big. But I feel like even when he was in Pulp Fiction, I knew who he was. So it wasn't like he was a total unknown, but that was when he broke out with playing Jules Winfield. And that made him an A-list actor. And of course he is iconic nowadays. So anyway, in his 40s, we have two more actors, Alan Rickman, who unfortunately died a few years back. I love Alan Rickman, but he began on the stage and he was in the theater, but he didn't really blow up until he was Snape. But I already knew him. I think I love his voice and his like demeanor. Anyway, he portrayed Snape in his 40s and he didn't even start doing films till he was in his 30s and well into his 40s when he became a household name. And so the last male and actor we will cover is Morgan Freeman. So he had an early start in acting, but another story of just keeping at it. He was in the 1989, of course, he's still alive. He was born in 1937. He was cast in Driving Miss Daisy when he was 52. I love that because so many times you hear about somebody in something like that and they're younger, but he was in Driving Miss Daisy in 1989 at the age of 52. Now, of course, that movie does meet with some controversy, but back, it was a different time, you know? So he played Hoke Colburn and he got an Academy Award nomination and it was a turning point in his career. Since then, he's gone on to become one of Hollywood's most respected and beloved actors. Of course, his voice is used in a million different things and knockoffs of his voice. Speaking of AI, right? And of course, he's been in iconic films like Shawshank Redemption and Million Dollar Baby. So this is another story. These are such good stories of people that kept at it. I mean, so many actors want to make it and just give up when they don't. And it's that little bit that you hear of staying with it, even when you think, okay, this isn't working and you want to quit. All right. Women. Let's talk about some women. First, Vera Wang. Vera Wang was born in 1949, and she was a figure skater. And later, she worked as an editor for Vogue. She entered the fashion industry designing her own wedding gown at the age of 40. How about that? So she, let's back up though a little bit. She participated in the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, but didn't make it to the Olympics. And when she was working for Vogue, she, of course, developed her knowledge and passion for fashion. And so she designed her own wedding gown for her wedding, for her marriage to Arthur Becker. And it caught the attention of the fashion world. And she started her own bridal wear company. She was also, like, I remember her designing some figure skating outfits too. I think she designed for Nancy Kerrigan. And just a little side note too. She was acclaimed as a designer, but when she was 50, this is some insider knowledge. I have a friend who was in the fashion industry who told me that who had become friends with Vera as sort of a mentor role. She was like a mentor role to them. And her company had never turned a profit. So, you know, that leaves you with like, what do you consider success? Her company had never turned a profit. I don't know if her husband was just rich or what, or she came from money, but, or if it was from money she'd made, you know, in fashion. That's just something to think about. Like, how do we define success? Is it that she's a household name and everybody knows her and people wore her dresses, but she didn't turn a profit? Now, did she eventually? I don't know. So that's just something that she shared with my friend and like, yeah. So that's so interesting when you think of success because you think, oh, she's just making scads of money. Well, nope. Her company wasn't turning a profit. It was probably stressful. So anyway, that she pivoted into a new career and achieved recognition, right? And was so well known. I mean, who wouldn't want a Vera Wang dress, right? So, all right, another one we're going to cover, Julia Child. Julia Child was celebrated, of course, as a chef and author. We have so many, there's shows about her right now, right? But she didn't, I watched Julie and Julia recently. It was a cute movie. I liked it. And of course, I love Meryl Streep. So she didn't publish that cookbook, though, Mastering the Art of French Cooking, until she was 49 years old. And the cookbook, which was co-authored, and they go into the story in the movie with Simone Beck and Louise Bertel, it became a sensation and played a pivotal role in revolutionizing American cooking and culinary culture. And she went on, of course, to host her own TV show, The French Chef. And she became a household name. Everyone imitated her. And of course, she helped in the war effort. They say she served as a spy. So anyway, 49 years old was her first publishing. And you know what? She just marched to her own drum. And she was just cool. She was tall. She was like, I didn't look up her height, but I think she was like 6'1", 6'2". Anyway, she did what she loved at a late age and made it work. And faced numerous setbacks, but did it anyway. And I love that story. This one, I think you'll really, really like. I didn't know this one. Julia Child, she died in 2004. And she did not acknowledge the book, Julie and Julia. Okay, so Laura Ingalls Wilder. Did you know she had success late? I did not. I thought she wrote those books early, but obviously she was busy living them and overcoming, you know, her background and everything. She was born in 1867 and died in 1957. And of course she wrote the Little House series of books, Little House on the Prairie, the TV show and all that. They depicted her experiences growing up in the American Midwest during the late 19th century. And even though she loved writing, she didn't publish her first book until she was in her 60s. What? Little House in the Big Woods was published when she was 65. Obviously, she died when she was 90, so she had time to write. But like, let's remember too, you're pecking shit out on a typewriter at this point, right? So it was a successful literary career that spanned several more books and decades, right? Oh God. I mean, that is such a good one. 65. I wonder how long she worked on that too. As somebody who has put out a couple of books, one of my books was off and on for 12 years. The other was 5. And that was a children's book. So I'm just thinking she probably worked at that for a really long time. I was talking to somebody the other day about how long it takes to write a book. And oh God, it's escaping me who it was. And they were saying it took them like 6 years or something. I'm like, exactly. It takes a long time. So if you're thinking of writing that book, I've told this story before, but somebody texted me one day or DM'd me, somebody I didn't really know. And she was like, how did you find your publisher? I'm thinking of writing a book. I was like, okay, just back way up. Just start writing first. You don't need to find your publisher yet, you know? And so many times we put the cart before the horse. And so just go ahead and write. It would be real nice to go ahead and find the publisher, but go ahead and just write. That's where you need to start. So anyway, because it takes a long time. And so would I have done it if I'd known how long it would take? After I completed it, I thought no, but now with more perspective, and it's been like 5 or 6 years since I put it out, yes, yes, I would. All right. So next we're going to cover Louise Bourgeois. She was born in 1911 and died in 2010. She was a prominent French-American artist known for her distinctive sculptures and installations. She explored themes of feminism, sexuality, and the human condition. Talk about ahead of your time. She had been creating art for most of her life and gained international recognition in the art world during her 70s, right? That makes sense because that would have been when those themes were actually hitting the mainstream, you know, Gloria Steinem and all that. Her artwork included massive spider sculptures and emotionally charged installations and left a profound impact on contemporary art. I hadn't even heard of her. She showed her work in, you know, renowned museums and galleries, and it cemented her as a groundbreaking artist in her 70s. So whatever you love to do, just keep at it. Maybe you get recognized, maybe you don't. Maybe it's after your death. You don't know. We don't know. That's what you're put here to do. So do it. That's why I'm sitting here in front of a mic right now. Precisely. Okay, so now we're going to do one more. This one, obviously it's late in life because she's called Grandma Moses, which I'm not that big a fan of. I wish we just used her name. But anyway, Grandma Moses, born in 1860, died in 1961. 101 she died. Go Grandma. Anna Mary Robertson Moses. There's her name. She began her artistic career as a folk artist in her 70s. She still had 3 decades, y'all. I don't know how good her eyes were, but good enough to see to paint, I guess. She depicted rural scenes and simple, idyllic landscapes, and her work gained popularity for its nostalgic and heartwarming themes. And despite starting her career so late in life, she created over, are you ready for this? 1,500 paintings, and continued to paint well into her 90s. Her artwork became highly sought after, and she remains an iconic figure in American folk art, demonstrating that creative expression knows no age boundaries. Yes, damn right. I mean, how amazing is that? She had decades to paint. Okay, I had a dream of something, this a business dream, and it was like a radio station where you could see inside, kind of like a Sun Radio type of a concept, only combined with Jack White's, you know, label. And I don't know if you've been to his store in Nashville, but it's incredible. Why am I blanking on the name? And it's so like branded and stylized, and there are all these different ways to record. It's very cool. And so Third Man. And so anyway, it would be like a combination of those, but with a radio station, and it would be on South Congress or somewhere really prominent. I think South Congress is best, with a window so you could see what's being recorded inside. I just thought that would be so cool. I've dreamt of this for a long time, but when I hit 50, I kind of revisited the dream, and I was like, oh my God, no, that'll take at least 10 years. I don't know if I have the time to do that. Is that what I want to, you know, devote an entire decade to? And reading these stories, it's like, what if I still have 5 decades left, 6 decades left? What if you have more decades than you think you do? Now, granted, we could have less, sure. But what if you have more? It's entirely possible when you hear these stories. She didn't know she was going to live another 30 years. But also, when you take something up that you're really dedicated to and doing every day, it expands your brain and it gives you a reason to keep living. So actually, I do believe that it extends your life when you take those things on. She was driven. She was experiencing drive in her 70s. And the drive to create can actually extend your life, can give you this purpose that helps you keep going and helps you keep living and keep creating. That's what we're here to do, is create. So if you're not creating, then maybe it's time to start. And it doesn't matter what age you are. I hear those stories about people who take up instruments late in life. People, that's creating music. It's learning / creating, right? While you're creating, you are learning. Like, she was learning to combine colors. She was learning mediums. She was learning canvases. So she was learning business too, probably. So, excuse me, that creation fosters living longer. So it's a give and take. It's a combo. All right. So now we're going to talk about Diana Nyad, born in 1949, who is still alive. Hang on. I got to take a drink of water before we do this. Okay. So I had a sore throat last night. I don't know why. I think there's like cedar in the air and stuff here in Austin. All right. Diana Nyad. She is a long distance swimmer. She made headlines when she successfully swam from Cuba to Florida at the age of 64 in 2013. Okay. So 64. Oh, God. I know. And I'm like, my feet hurt at 51. Okay. So 64. So here we go. Let's dive into her just a little bit more deeply than the others, because this just seems exciting to me. So she had a passion for swimming. Diana had a passion for swimming from an early age and started competitive swimming in her youth. So she had an early career. She was setting some world records in long distance swimming, but she still faced numerous challenges and setbacks in her career, including she failed to complete her previous attempts to swim from Cuba to Florida. It was a long-standing dream of achievement for her. So she became disillusioned with these failures. She decided, fuck this. I'm conjecturing there, but she stepped away from swimming for a while. But she still had this fire inside her to achieve that particular dream. And she made a decision to come out of retirement in her 60s to pursue this lifelong dream of completing the historic swim from Cuba to Florida. It's 110 miles, shark-infested waters, of course, like that's all Caribbean, right? We know there's sharks down there. A lot of currents. And she was still like, I'm here for it. I'm dreaming of it. So she rigorously trained and prepared for this monumental swim for years. She refined her swimming technique. She built up her physical endurance, and she studied the specific challenges of the Florida Straits, as it's called. So on August 31st, 2013, at the age of 64, she embarked on her fifth and final attempt to swim from Cuba to Florida. She faced grueling conditions during the swim, including jellyfish stings. She had rough seas, and it didn't matter. She persevered. She kept going, and she completed the journey in 53 hours, so over 2 days. And she arrived in Key West on September 2nd, 2013. It made headlines all around the world. I don't remember hearing about it, do you? Anyway, it inspired people all over the world of all ages. And people would, I don't know personally, but you know, there's always these naysayers that are like, no way, you can't do that. Are you ready to prove them wrong? She was. So she fulfilled her personal dream and became a symbol of perseverance and resilience, and continues to inspire individuals to pursue their goals relentlessly, regardless of age or obstacles. Regardless of age or obstacles. Now there's that right there, right? So how can we let go of what maybe not only our brain is telling us, but what others are telling us? And I'm speaking to myself too here, right? Because sometimes I go, oh my God, I'm 51. Like that, I was listening to Morbid podcast the other day. They were talking about a woman named Velma Barfield. And she was known as like the poisoning grandma. And so I looked her up. Dude, she looked so old. She looked like such a grandma, right? She's like kind of like squatty and wearing like a house dress looking thing, and her hairstyle, you know, whatever. Granted, it was, you know, in the 70s or 60s, but 70s, I think. But still, I looked at her and I was like, man, she's, yeah, grandma. And then she's like 46. I was like, wait, what? I think when she went down for all her crimes, it was 1984, and she was like not even 50. Or maybe just over. Anyway, I was like, okay. So we've already shifted how we look. We've already shifted our perception of age and how it looks and is perceived from 50 years ago, 40 years ago, and so, or more. It's not what it used to be. We know that. So I think that sometimes still in us, it's like buried in there, and like we're still battling. At least I know I am still battling this preconception of what it means to be in your 50s, in your 40s, in your 30s. And we should be further along, and we should be this, and we should be that. And now we're a grandma or whatever it is. And so can we let those go? And can we start creating, learning, and doing whatever it is at any age? You know, that's a big MO for me, and I'm all about it. But that doesn't mean that I don't need to hear these stories, that I don't get discouraged. It doesn't mean that. It just means my periods of discouragement are shorter and shorter, and I come back to this remembrance faster and faster. Boom. Yeah. 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 I drank my Purpose Plus this morning from Sovereignty. I feel like my brain is working, and that is a good thing. Like, anyway, so this is not even an ad. I just love that stuff. And they sent me a new bag the other day for free, so I might as well give them a plug. I love that stuff. They've been a supporter of the show, and it's Sovereignty Purpose Plus. And like, if you drink that on an empty stomach, you can meditate, you can do stuff. You just feel like your brain is functioning. Yes. And I felt like my brain was like, I wasn't hydrated enough in Egypt. Imagine that. You're like at an oasis in the middle of the Sahara. So, okay, on the side of the Sahara, but still. All right. I'm going to wrap up then. And I wonder which one inspired you the most. I really liked Diana's story because she even got disillusioned and gave up for a while. But that doesn't mean you stop. It just means you take a break. Just like her swim, she probably took some breaks, you know? So that's okay. It's okay if you set it down for a little while. Come back to it. Keep creating. Keep going. Whatever it is. What are you creating? I would love to know what you're creating. Please email me, amy@amyedwards.com. You can always reach me anytime. And thank you for being here. I love you so much. I love you so much. I mean that just so much. Are you loving yourself? Are you loving this journey? Are you loving it all? Are you loving the lessons that you're getting? Yeah, I am. I am. I love the lesson that I got from my feet hurting. Oh God. I love you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah, the newsletter will keep you more up to date. If you haven't signed up for that, go ahead and do. I am, you know, keeping up with all that. Justin and I are going to do one together coming up pretty soon. And then of course I'm going to do something for the new year. So just a little something inspiring for the new year. But as we close out, like, it's good to think about your goals and stuff. I say it's good to any time, but the end of the year just always feels like a fresh start is awaiting us. So what do you dream of? You know, is it designing clothes? What's success to you? You know, like, is it just simply creating that collection? Is it a business goal? You know, whatever it is, these people did it. You can too. They're just normal people who just kept going. So keep going. Damn it. Keep going. Persevere. That's right. And love what you do. Just love it. Just love it. Just love it. But I think that's one thing about Diana's story. She became disillusioned with swimming. Like, that part of it speaks to me because you can just get disillusioned with something that you love so much. So, but then allowing yourself to come back to it, to see it with fresh eyes, to really give yourself the space that you need sometimes to step away, to come back. It's all okay. It's an ebb and flow. Just like we were talking about, ebb and flow. All right. I hope this spoke to you. It did to me. And I love you so much. Thank you for being here. You fucking rock. I mean, like, if you're listening to this, you fucking rock. I'm so grateful for you. It's like beyond. So thank you. Thank you for like being here because I put my heart and soul into this every time. And I care so much. So, yeah. Love you so much. Catch up on the shows. We had some good ones recently and we've got good ones coming up. So I love you. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.